Lord began to open this verse up to me. And so I want to read you a couple of verses, and then I will kind of get into what I shared with the children, the young adults. From 1 Corinthians in the 3rd chapter, the 16th and 17th verse. Do you not know that you are a temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? And if any man destroys the temple of God, God will destroy him. For the temple of God is holy, and that is who you are. From 1 Corinthians 6 and 20. Or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit, who is in you, whom you have from God, and that you are not your own? For you have been bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your bodies. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, 16. For we are the temple of the living God, just as God said, I will dwell in them and walk among them. So in reading those, my point being is that over and over and over and over again, we are told that we are the temple and that our bodies are His temple. And so, turning back to that chapter in Mark, we'll just look at a few of the things that's in there. When it said, and an interesting thing about this particular passage is that it's in all four Gospels. It's not just in Mark. All four Gospels carry the same story of Jesus coming to the temple, going into the temple, and just starting to just basically get down in the dirt with it. About some stuff. You know, he started with throwing out the money changers, and the people who sold one translation says pigeons, in mine it says doves, and running them out of the temple to the place that the Pharisees were willing to kill him, but they're afraid of him because of the people, but not because of him. It says because of the people is what they're fearing. So what I want us to think about, and what I've been thinking about, is, so if I'm the temple, what happens when Jesus comes and walks in that temple? And I've been thinking about that, and I don't know about you, but many times in the course of my life, he comes, and he kind of wants to get his temple cleaned up a little bit. Because I've given in to the pressures of society, culture, friends, my own flesh and selfishness. And I don't allow things into my temple that just don't belong to me. And he's very jealous of his temple. If he did this in the earthly temple in Jerusalem that was going to be destroyed in just a few years, how much more would he do this in our lives? And so I want to think in terms of a couple of these things. Two of the big things was money changers and the doves. You know, now what money changers did is they performed a very, very absolute necessity service to the temple. Because, see, every male Jew that was over the age of 20 was required to come once a year and pay a half shekel price to the temple. Every male. Well, a half shekel is not a whole lot. And during that period of history, the Jews didn't have much. You know, they were barely even existing as a nation. And so most money was either in the Roman or Greek coinage that people got. There wasn't really a whole lot of the Hebrew money out there exchanging hands. So these guys would sit in the temple doors in the courtyards and stuff, and they would take the money, and if you've ever traveled to another country, you know what it is. You have to do this exchange. And this is what they were doing. They were just exchanging one money for another for this half shekel that was required. And it was very precise. It was a half shekel coin that was unique to the Hebrew. And so that's what they was doing. So they were performing the necessary task. The only thing is that they is like most of us, got greedy. And so rather than it being an equal, you know, amount of money really changing hands, they charge a little extra, sometimes a lot extra, to make that exchange. And then the doves were there because the doves were one of the cheapest things that they could offer as a sacrifice. And so the poor people would buy the doves or the pigeons, and then they were being offered as sacrifices. Now those are all, and at their time, this is what they thought, this was all things that were necessities that was needed for them to have to do, to perform their obligations in the temple. But Jesus came in and said, you know, you got it all wrong. And so he ran out the money changers, overturned the tables, and the ones selling the sacrifices, and said, you know, my house is to be a house of prayer to all of the nations. It says he walked in the midst of that. And when he got through, it says here in this passage that he would not even allow anyone to carry stuff through the temple of any kind. No kind of merchandise, no kind of stuff. And so the parting thought for us is that I would like for you to contemplate, as I'm contemplating it, is how about us? What do we do? Where are we changing money at in our temple? What have we done to make what is should be our normal act of worship? How have we perverted it and changed it to something that God never intended it to be that way? And what about our sacrifices? What are they? It's just interesting to me to note that the dove was one of the very cheapest of sacrifices that they could offer. But if you go and look all through the scripture, the dove is really, in the New Testament, the dove represents the Holy Spirit. The coming of the Holy Spirit. It says that when Jesus was baptized, the dove descended upon him. But apparently in the temple, the dove wasn't representing nothing more than a blood sacrifice, a get-by, a bare minimum, the cheapest thing that they could get by with. So how about us? Where do we shortchange God in our lives? Where do we do bare minimums? And how do we do those? Do we seek out things to satisfy our feeling of sin? And doing it, we sin. Because you see, he provided the sacrifice himself. And he is the sacrifice. And so I think that when Jesus did this in all four Gospels, it was a story to tell us, to cause us to pause and think, in this temple that he created, in this temple that he redeemed, in this temple that is his and his alone, where am I doing some of these very same things? When what he's called me to do is what he's told them, to be a temple of prayer, a place of prayer and relationship. Last thought is on prayer. Too many times in my life, and I think in the life of others, we interpreted prayer right, but we just stop before we get to the real thing about prayer. You see, we tend to think of prayer as a thing of asking, intercession, interceding, bringing things before God. And really, prayer is about a relationship with Him. Prayer is just talking to Him. I'm a story that Brandon Manning, you may not have heard of him, he's an author, a Roman Catholic guy, told the story of a man that he visited in the hospital that was dying. He's in hospice care. And he visited this gentleman, and the gentleman said that he didn't know how to pray. He asked to be taught how to pray. And so Brandon told him, said, just talk to him. Just simply talk to him. That's what prayer is, simply talk to him. And so Brandon came to see the gentleman one day, and had passed on. And the nurses told him, said, Mr. Manning, said, brother so-and-so has died and went to be with the Lord. But he said the strangest thing is when we went to his room and he was dead, there was a chair sitting beside his bed. And he was like leaning into that chair, his head in that chair. He had been talking to Jesus. He had understood, and as a man died, what true prayer was. It was not so much about petitions and stuff. It was about talking to the lover of your soul. Talking to the one that loves you more than you love him. A relationship. That's what the temple is about. It's about many things. Intercession is critical and is totally necessary. Praying for the healing of the sick and the deliverance of the captives is all very, very important. But the most important thing is your relationship with Jesus. And so that's what your prayer should always be first and foremost, is about your relationship with him. And then go and do the things that he tells you to do. Amen. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.